Good morning, and welcome to the May 20th, 2010 Tourism Business Improvement District regularly scheduled advisory board meeting. At this time, before we go any further, I would like to welcome and introduce to everyone our two new members, John Myers and Jane Beeman. And they have just joined us and were sworn in right before the meeting, so it's exciting to have two new members here and a full board. So thank you and welcome. And if you have any questions, we will do our best to get you up to speed. And I'm going to ask members today of the board to refrain from all of the little acronyms of TOT, BID, ADR, all the little ones that confuse everybody and get everybody off track during the first meeting. If you can just refer to everything in full sentences, and then after, for example, after you say average daily rate, ADR, so we can get everybody. I've heard that we are confusing even the general public with our hotelier speak. It's our own language. So if we can just do that, that would be great. So we've had the call to order. And at this time, I would like to open it up to public comment. Any members of the audience wishing to speak to the board, please step forward and state your name, and then you may publicly speak to us, and we'd love to hear from you.
Good morning, Chairwoman Solu. Congratulations to our two new members of the board and other board members of the Tourism Business Improvement District. My name is Jeff Eccles. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I'm president of Morro Bay Fourth. We are the newly formed nonprofit in town that is responsible for hosting the 4th of July celebrations and Independence Day celebrations and fireworks display here in Morro Bay. So I am very pleased to be standing before you to announce that Morro Bay is the place to be for fireworks and Independence Day celebrations on the Central Coast. I also want to publicly acknowledge and thank this board for being our largest single contributor. As you all know, you approved a $10,000 sponsorship to our group, which really put the wind in our sails and gave us positive momentum a couple of months ago. I'm pleased to announce that we have met those minimum funding goals and that we are in the black and in for smooth sailing in terms of having and funding the fireworks display for this year. So we have brought in, as you know, our minimum funding goal was $30,000. We brought in approximately almost about $32,000 at this point. And we were significantly below that number when we came to you several months ago. So I just wanted to come back and give you a progress report, let you know where we are with that. It doesn't mean that it's time to let up. We have the momentum going. We need to build as much seed money as possible for the coming years, as well as to make this year's event bigger and better, frankly. So exciting news. At noon on July 4th, we'll start off with the bicycle parade at the Rock parking lot. And that bicycle parade, complete with Morro Bay Police bicycle escorts, by the way, will run along our beautiful bike path on the Harbor Walk and then down the Embarcadero and end up at Tidelands Park. That'll give us a big crowd. Our website. Our web address is www.morrobay4th.org. So morrobay4th.org. And we are, of course, always looking for volunteers. So if anyone viewing would like to volunteer with our group, we meet every Wednesday, as we have been, and we can use as much help as possible. Our volunteer pool is growing, which is good. And I thank the community for stepping up both for their financial contributions as well as the volunteers stepping forward. But please visit our website, morrobay4th.org. You can sign up to volunteer there. We also have a PayPal button there, which gives you the opportunity to donate as well. And by this time, you've probably seen our donation cans around town. We also, since this board is consists of hoteliers, we also have within 5 days, we call them concert tickets, but they're about the size of a concert ticket that have a rundown of the day's activities and then promote the 4th of July and the fact that fireworks are back. So those will go to all the hotels as well as all the businesses, restaurants. The establishments in town will be able to provide those tickets to customers, slip them in the bags, put them on the front desk, put them on the restaurant receipts as well, so that it really is going to publicize that. And we're also working with low or no-cost ways of getting our posters out from the Central Valley, Fresno, all the way down to Bakersfield. So again, thank you to this board. Thank you to the wonderful volunteers and citizens, residents of Morro Bay. We appreciate your support, and we look forward to the 4th. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the audience? No? I just want to say I think that Mr. Eccles has done an incredible job with his team of Merry 4th of July promoters, and that what they've taken on in, I mean, Peter knows, it's a huge undertaking, the 4th of July. I've worked on it, or with Peter in the chamber, many years, and it's a gigantic undertaking, and to take it on, create a new nonprofit, get it up and rolling, get the funding going, and do all the promotion with a group of volunteers with no paid staff. It's pretty amazing what they've done, and I think the community should really come out and support the event. So I look forward to seeing everybody in the community there. And thanks, Jeff, for all of your heavy lifting. It's been a Herculean effort. Thank you. Oops, excuse me. Okay, so public comment period is closed. Board announcements, are there any announcements from the board? I would like to announce that the Savor the Central Coast website went live, and it's really phenomenal. Also, their rack cards came out, and in addition to that, they have opened up for the sale of tickets. And can you go over to SavorTheCentralCoast.com and we can look at the website? It's fun. SavorCentralCoast.com, and pull up the website so you can see. I want everybody on the board to see, because we made a decision to fund the Savor, how many locations there are on the so many locations on the cover of that. Look at that. Look at all those locations. Look at the one that stands out right in the middle there.
So I have some details about that. I'll make a formal invitation to be one of the first to go on the tour. When Alan and Wendy, you know, get their boat finalized, and it looks great. I don't know if you've seen it out there, but it's been going up and down the bay. So when that happens, I'll give you. They're going to send out some invitations about going to an experience, what that is going to be all about, and it's going to be very exciting. And on top of that, we have the Amtrak people coming in 2011 in January, February, March. Looks like 12 trips are planned from north to south right now. That's Amtrak starting in stopping in Pismo, having some wine, going to Hearst Castle, coming into Morro Bay, experiencing the oyster tour, and then from that point, we have them for maybe 2 or 3 hours extra after that, so we can plan something, you know, for them to do. And we're talking about 95 people, and that's 12 times in the course of that year. And then I got a call yesterday, very excited about this, from Main Street Tours. It's another bus, large bus company, very interested about the Oyster Tour. They heard it through the industry. Actually, they heard it through the NTA that we went to last year. And it looks like they're all starting to come through. And remember, we haven't done any advertising on this yet. This is just word through the industry. So very excited about that, and I think it's going to be a big thing here.
Thank you, Peter. Any other announcements from the board? No? Okay, great. We'll move on to the approval of the minutes. Did everybody have an opportunity to look last month's minutes over? And if there were any changes, if you could bring them up now.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes of whatever date that was, April 15th board meeting.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, then at this point we would normally move to monthly reports, but I do see a member of the audience who is here to address us under new business. And knowing how long our monthly reports can take, I would say that it would be a polite gesture to see if we could move the discussion of participation in a FAM trip, in a joint FAM trip with the county to the top of our agenda. Just move that one new business item A up. I would need a motion in order to be able to do that. I'm not sure if anybody would look to.
I'll make a motion to move item A under new business to the first item of our reports.
Ahead of our reports?
Ahead of our reports. So it'd be the first item of monthly reports.
Seconded by Karen Biagini. And any discussion on that? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. At this time, then, we are going to move a discussion of participation in a FAM trip with the county BID to the front of our agenda. And I'd ask everyone to have a nice listen to Cheryl Cummings.
In and around the unincorporated area and Morro Bay. We've actually also already spoken to the VCB. They would like to partner with us as well. So what we'd like to do is bring the CBID, the Morro Bay bid, and the VCB together. And originally we were going to be doing this FAM trip just through our bid, and we're going to be bringing 6 to 8 journalists in regionally. With your participation and the VCB's, our hope is to bring 12 to 18 folks nationally and really focus in on people who are coming from more prominent publications, focus in on getting some really good press coverage out of this, and honestly creating an experience for these journalists that will differentiate it from others. We're not going to just be driving them around the county. We're going to be, one of the things we're looking at, honestly, is bringing up what's called Airship Ventures. It's out of LA. It's a blimp, and it's super cool. And they can either land in Paso, or we're working with the Hearst Castle to see if they can land at the Hearst Castle Strip, and we would actually fly them down the coast in this blimp. We're looking at taking them horseback riding through Oceano, which is one of our bid members, experiencing a in-the-vineyard wine lunch in Edna Valley. One of the opportunities, which we would love, is our chance to bring them to Morro Bay, experience your new oyster tour, and have them actually stay here in Morro Bay. With this many journalists, we're probably going to be looking at splitting them between Morro Bay hotels and Cayucas hotels, but definitely putting at least half of them here in Morro Bay, and then providing the experience of Morro Bay, allowing them to walk the Embarcadero. All of this, obviously, would be led by myself and the PR professional that we're working with, Linda Parker Sampe. And we're excited about this. The itineraries come together. What I'd like to do is understand your level of interest and then take this itinerary to my board next Wednesday, get their approval around it, and then be able to publish the itinerary. So basically the overall expense of this FAM trip is about $25,000 with what we're looking at right now with the level of folks we're bringing in and what we're doing with them. We are keeping them here for 4 days, so it is a jam-packed agenda. We look to your bid to represent about $2,500 of that $25,000 with the idea that on the first day they would experience Savor, they'd stay in Avila Beach, they'd go to the Sunday afternoon events up at Santa Margarita Ranch, they'd come back to Avila, and then honestly we're looking to Rob Rossi and some other folks there locally to host them at one of the VIP tables for the Chris Isaak concert. Then we would come, then we would actually head south and we'd go into the other area for us, unincorporated, which would include unincorporated Aurora Grande, Edna Valley, Napomo, and Oceano, so their ability to experience that area as well. You must understand, you know, our ability to kind of have to give exposure to all of our 10 areas is something we really need to be cognizant of, and we have 731 constituents. So it's a bit challenging to make sure that everybody is represented. So the one thing we're also looking at is making sure that it's a mix of not only hotels, mode dinner, you know, they can pick and choose. So they'll will be eating in Morro Bay and potentially Cayucas and then settling in for the evening and then enjoying the next morning here in Morro Bay, walking the Embarcadero, having breakfast. Certainly, if you would like to meet them, you can participate in any part of this that you'd like. And then we'll be heading up the coast for the next day and a half to experience Cayucas, Cambria. We're going to be hopefully doing a special dinner at the Hearst Castle, elephant seals, all of those kinds of things. So that's the plan as of right now. We would love to partner with you, as I mentioned. Let me just tell you a little bit about the unincorporated bid. It includes a 7-member volunteer board, all of which are involved as constituents in our BID, which includes John King, Noreen Martin, and I have a list of these folks, and I'll leave this behind. Marjorie Ott is a bed and breakfast owner out of Cambria. Shirley Lyon actually represents the vacation rental properties. Lila Coleman owns the Shoreline Inn in Cayucas. And then Matt Messia owns several properties along Moonstone Beach in Cambria and also owns some properties in Paso as well. And then we do have a constituent or a contact through the county, because this is a county organization. Her name is Nikki Schmidt. And this board has been awesome. They're very dedicated. We've been meeting every 2 weeks for 4 to 5 hours to try to get this going and make sure that we can be successful. So we're thrilled also to be partnering with Morro Bay on Sunset Saver. We are producing a video, 6-minute video, whereby you'll be represented in at least 30 seconds of that video. The shot list is coming together, and again, once that's approved next Wednesday by our board, I'll be sharing that with you, so then we're also getting your feedback on what you would like represented here in Morro Bay. So you guys, we're the first BIDs to collaborate on these things, and I hope what we're doing is setting a stage for others to participate in some things. I met with the San Luis BID this morning. We had several ideas on how we could collaborate with them, and we're also working with Paso and Pismo Beach. So I would like to, and I'll email each of you later. We are looking to set a meeting on June 24th in the afternoon, potentially starting around 2 or 3 o'clock, whereby we'll bring Carl Roboto in. We'll present our marketing plan. We'll roll out our brand. We're going to have folks like Mike Manchek there. We've asked the Board of Supervisors to attend. They're going to be there. The chambers are going to be there, with the idea that at the end of that meeting is ask for folks from each BID who then can meet on a quarterly basis so that this collaboration can begin. So we would love your participation in that as well. So that's kind of a mouthful. I want to make sure I answer any questions if you have any, and would be thrilled with your support of the FAM trip if you're interested.
Thank you, Cheryl. Can you stick around for a little bit while we have our discussion? I don't know if they have any questions right now, so we'll get to that, and then we may bring you up for questions, so don't go far.
That's the board contact information.
Oh, great. Thank you, and I'll make sure everybody gets a. I'll make sure you all get a copy of this.
Thank you.
Yep. Hang around for a minute.
Okay.
So any discussion? So she did give us a lot of information. So what? You know, it would be an odd trip up the coast. In my mind, it would be an odd trip up the coast. Going, okay, here's Avila, here's Bayosos, there's Cayucas. What was that? So.
And that was brought out there.
Yeah. What was that? Where did we just go past? So for me, I like the idea of participating. I think they're asking us for about 10%. Mm-hmm. So let's discuss that. What do you all think?
I'd just be curious to see what the $2,500 entails. Does that go to the hotels? That goes to, I mean, how is that divvied up? Or
yeah, good question. What we're planning on doing, certainly with as many constituents as we have, we need to create a system that works across the board. So we're putting together a rate that we're going to be offering out to all hotels. With our constituency, we're then going to be reaching out to them and saying, if anyone is interested in participating at this rate, please let us know, and you will become part of the mix of, you know, when we bring future journalists in and folks like that. So the $2,500 goes to as much as we can then work with partnerships here with Morro Bay. If we can get, you know, some discounted rates with with the Oyster folks, with restaurants and stuff. It's all projected right now at a level where we'd need to pay for it. If the more we can collaborate on that, the more we can add more things into the fam trip. So it's basically accommodations and meals are a big part of the expense overall. And then because we're looking nationally, there is some travel expense that we need to pay for as well.
Thank you. Good mm-hmm. question. Peter, any more questions? No? Jane?
Push that button.
Oh, nice color green. So with the 20... Just once?
Yeah, just once.
Good. I'm an artist.
Hi.
Also, yeah. So I have a problem with machines. Anyway, so with the 2500, I understand how that will be used to partnership with us, but will there be a guarantee that X amount of the journalists will be able to be here?
Mm-hmm.
Because you mentioned here and Cayugas.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. And you know what we'd like to do is look at half the group, since we kind of have a range right now and we haven't made a commitment yet with all the journalists who are coming, that we will place half of them here in Morro Bay. And then that next morning we'll actually bring the Cayugas folks back. They'll be here in the evening, and then we'll bring them back to Morro Bay for a stroll along the Embarcadero and breakfast.
Okay, so let's, if we assume 18 and 9 will be in Morro Bay, mm-hmm. will somebody look at, since I represent the smaller hotels, that somebody will be able to focus on smaller hotels, larger hotels?
I'll honestly look to each, to the board to make those suggestions.
Okay.
So you guys can tell me where you would like to place them. We don't necessarily need to place them all at the same hotel. Just from a time-saving standpoint, proximity is helpful, because we'll have a van and we'll need to be picking them up. So I don't want to place 9 of them at 9 different places, but certainly I'll leave that up to you.
Well, one of the reasons I mention that is because Morro Bay is...
If Morro Bay chooses not to participate, the fam trip will probably become a little bit shorter and a little bit less expensive. So that would change the proposal that I would put in front of the board. So my preference would be to know, because what we need to start doing is reaching out to these journalists and getting on their travel schedule and all of that. And our hope is to start that June 1st.
One more thing. I think it's, a bang for our bucks. $2,500 is not a lot of money compared to our budget, and to bring these journalists here, I think it's a great.
I've got a question about the journalists. Are we talking? You said nationally known. Are we talking a variety of publication,
mm-hmm.
including maybe travel blogs or?
Yes, and believe me, Karen, the list is overwhelming. And what we've really done is we've actually put them into 4 different categories. Folks that we're looking at, there are several journalists that are freelancers that write for several different magazines. They're a focus of ours because that gives us a bigger bang for our buck. Yes, certainly those that then also publish online and do that. So we have it tiered, and I can certainly share that list once we have that approved next week. It's about 500 big, because what we know is that in order to get 12 to 18 folks here, we have to contact probably 250.
You had mentioned we would have a say on the itinerary, correct? So you're not going to set Morro Bay's itinerary. We would kind of get to, you're going to kind of mm-hmm. maybe guide it or whatever, but we would have a say on the final itinerary.
I would love that. I think
okay.
you would speak to that better. I can give you the time frames of when we'll be in Morro
right.
Bay and when we need to leave.
Okay.
And I would love for, yes, I would actually prefer that
okay.
you just choose to do that. You need to choose on what's going to highlight your area
right.
the most.
And
right. if you have some, cool thing where another experience like the horseback riding on the beach or the driving on the beach, which is big for people, the blimp, you say, this is really special. I haven't experienced the oyster thing yet, but I just went to the abalone farm a week and a half ago, and what a great experience. So those kinds of things, we want a unique experience for these folks.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with pretty much everyone on the board. I think this, for $2,500, it's great to get people out here and expose Morro Bay. So I think this is a really great opportunity also to work with the county and kind of get our fingers in. We knew starting with Saver was going to kind of start the friendship, and I think this is another way to continue to kind of pool all of our money together in a bigger sense to kind of help the entire county. So I agree. I think this is a great opportunity. I just wanted to make sure we got to highlight Morro Bay since we know it best. So.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
I have one other question. Just clarity. Black and white, if we participate, we will be insured to have X amount of people stay here. If we don't participate, it may not happen, correct?
You know what? If you don't participate, then they'll be staying in the unincorporated area.
I just wanted to understand that clearly. Thank
yes.
you.
We'll have to drive through Morro Bay, so we'll acknowledge it. We won't just let it pass by.
John?
What does FAM mean?
It's familiarization, so it stands for familiarization trip.
Okay,
FAM.
I'm guilty. I was the one who said make sure we explain
you're
it.
You're right, and I should have. Sorry about that.
But, you know, it could happen. You never know. And if there's 20, we get 10 for $2,500. I think that, for me, I'm value-driven. I think this is a phenomenal value because if we get a full-length or even a sectional article written about it, it's cost us less than almost anything else that we've done. So I really like the idea. I love the idea of partnering with the county again. We are just a spoke in the wheel of tourism for this area, and I feel like this is a great way, just like Saver, to come together.
You know, one thing, too, that I think is kind of neat is they're starting it off at Saver, and we are at Saver. So we're kind of getting a double dip here. And I think that's another thing for us to think about, which is a great opportunity. They will be seeing us over at Saver before they even come over this way.
That's
so
true.
I think that's another thing, too, to bring up.
So oh, Morro Bay, we're coming there tomorrow or in 2 days. Okay, so I would look for a motion to see where the board is at, to feel the board out. I'd look for a motion to approve $2,500 to join the county unincorporated, the UBID, is that what you're calling yourself?
CBID.
The CBID. The CBID to join them with a $25 fee to join the family. It's donation. It's not a donation. It's a collaborated fee. It's a collaborative fee. A $2,500 collaborative fee to join in the FAM trip in October.
I'll make that motion as stated by our chairperson. If I can do that.
Is there a second?
I second. Karen and I are both.
Is there any discussion on that motion? My only question is, did you get that, Andrea?
I condensed it, Jim.
Thank you. I appreciate that because I said it three times. Okay. All in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. And then one quick question now, Cheryl, that we're partnering together again.
Yes.
Can you please, I'm assuming that the trade show subcommittee is going to be working on this with you.
For the Saver Expo?
We're going to be working with you for the Saver Expo, but I'm assuming that the trade show subcommittee is going to be working on this, or would it be the advertising subcommittee who would be working with her on the FAM trip? Public relations. Let's have public relations do it. Public relations, could you please work? But who's on public relations, Karen? Tell me. Because Casola was on there with you, wasn't he?
And so was Val.
And Mike and Val were on there. Okay, right. So we'll look at that. I'll shoot you an email as to who's going to help you on that. Their contact information will get you going.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys. We're thrilled.
You know, I have one thing to comment, too. If you get 20 or 30 journalists, don't feel overwhelmed. We will help you because I think the more response you get, the more we should let them come. So
Thank you.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing we need to consider as we add more journalists, the cost gets to be greater. So if we do have the opportunity to add more journalists, we'll take a look at it, and I'll come back to you guys and talk about that. I won't discount the opportunity. Absolutely.
Right. Fill your blimp.
Yeah, fill the blimp.
Fill the blimp.
Doesn't that? That's going to be so much fun if we can do that.
FAM Transient Occupancy Report, which is also known as the TOT report. And then we'll talk a little bit about our budget hearing last night. I'd like to bring your attention to the March numbers. I can tell you that the motel receipts number, 923,000, is shy about 25,000 from a hotel that we're still collecting from. So I think that's important information to know. If we compare that with our March 2009 numbers, you can see that that was 902,000, so we're slightly up from last year. The one item that I wanted to bring your attention to in particular, and I think that it'll tie into what we're may or may not be doing with the TBID in the future, is your vacation rental receipts. If you look at that number for March of 2010, we received 87,000 in 2010. If you compare that to your March of 2009, the receipts last year were 29,000. We see that trend. If you go backwards to February, January, and December, you see all those vacation rental receipts exceeding. So it's kind of an interesting concept. The occupancy rate, of course, doesn't include our vacation rental numbers. So our occupancy in March of 2010 was 38%. Last year at this time, 41%. The other questions, we had a couple questions last meeting about how many vacation rentals the city had registered, and we currently have registered approximately 150 vacation rentals in the city. We do get, I guess I'll call them leads. People come into the city and ask if this house next to me is a vacation rental, and we go ahead and check that out. We also check on things like Craigslist on a regular basis to see if people are advertising something as a vacation rental so we can get them registered with the city. And so that kind of covers my TOT report. Unless there's any questions on that, I'll move on to budget.
Do you know if we have had an increase over last year in the number of vacation rentals?
You must have been listening to the Community Promotions Committee because they had the same question, and we will be bringing that back to you. I don't know. My guess is yes. I don't think to that extent, but we will find out.
But we did at one point have very few registered, and the city went back and kind of did some kind of either research or homework and went back and said, if you're functioning as a vacation rental, you need to register and pay TOT. Is that correct?
You know, that sounds familiar to me, but I'm not sure, and I'll check.
Okay. I was just wondering at what point that occurred.
But we've been checking vacation rentals for quite some time.
Right.
We may have had an extra push on them, but whenever anybody comes in, we make sure and check on if they've got a concern about that.
This was also brought up at our first meeting, too, that it's kind of a sign of the times, because I know this is true in Pismo. We see vacation rentals percentages going up as the economy kind of dictates, because I think people look to staying in a place where they can cook their food and kind of economize. So, I mean, that's something we've seen increase other markets, too.
Well, in addition to that, I think with the economy doing what it does, people say, I can't let my second home just sit there and take money from me. I have to make my second home produce an income so that it's less of a burden.
Right.
And then they begin to rent it and have a vacation rental. So that's also a sign of the times. And I think that's reflected here as well. It's interesting that we have 150 registered vacation rentals, because I know Pismo Beach has 1,500. So
the other item,
there's some stipulations there, and I can bring those back to you.
Okay, so it's more dunes than probably the two state parks.
Are you going to answer that one?
It is, and there are the two parks right up here, and they do have spaces that they're able to rent overnight or for a week or for 10 days. They have spaces that they obviously have permanent or semi-permanent residents on, but they also have transient spaces.
And transient's going to be anything under 30 days.
Right.
Your 31st day is when you become non-transient and you don't pay tax.
Okay.
And that can even apply in a hotel as well. So if you have a guest who comes and stays for 45 days, they become tax exempt from paying the transient tax, just to help you.
We had our budget meeting last night, and I'll talk a little bit about that under this item. The city's first budget hearing was last night. You're probably aware that the city ended up having to lay off 4.25 people from city staff. We are down to the lowest number of general fund employees that we've ever had, which is 73 general fund employees. Along with the proposed budget, we staff put in a number of, per directed from council, put in a number of across-the-board reductions in funding recommendations, and two of those reductions included The visitor center and community promotions were both proposed to be reduced by 5%. That dictates to about 5,000 in community promotions and approximately 8,000 in the visitor center. We also got a request from the VCB yesterday for their funding for the next for the upcoming year, and their request this year was $24,000 for the city of Morro Bay, and we did not include any funding for the VCB in our general fund budget. You'll recall that last year the city funded $10,000 out of the general fund, and the TBID funded an additional $22,000. A couple of other discussions that occurred last night, and we're going to be following up with these. The council talked a little bit about their interest in the VCB. Or, excuse me. Well, here I go with them. VCB is Visitors and Conference Bureau, and TBID. I think that's all that I said. Community promotions. The council talked a little bit about their interest in the possibility of having the TBID remain at 3%. As you know, in June, the TBID is scheduled to go to 2%, and the council talked about the possibility of leaving the TBID at 3% and then having the TBID fund a portion or the entirety of the visitor center, which is approximately $160,000 of funding that we provide. There are some things that need to happen before that occurs, including an ordinance change and, I believe, a vote of the hoteliers. So the council wanted staff to come back with additional information about the possibility of doing that. We did let the council know that as of June 1st, the TBID amount will go down to 2%, so it would be a little bit messy at that point. But that's that was their discussion, and I would anticipate that we'll come back with the specifics on how that could occur, either at our next budget hearing, which is scheduled for June 2nd. I don't know if we're going to have that budget hearing, or at the next city council meeting, which is June 14th. I think that pretty much covers what we talked about in the budget hearing. I'm happy to answer questions we have under that. So that's a figure we need.
I have a question. Where is this on the agenda?
This is not on the agenda. This is under reports of the transient occupancy, and we're on item A under monthly reports. And
So this is review of transient occupancy reports, and then we segued into what council would like to see this.
Well, I wanted to give you a little update on what happened last night, because it was very recent, and we certainly can't have a full-blown discussion on it, but it's really, this is what occurred. Certainly people could if you watched the meeting last night, if people watched the meeting, they would know what occurred. But I wanted to make sure that the T board, since there was discussion about your board at the council meeting, you knew what was going on.
Right.
You're right. We can't have a full-blown discussion on it.
Right. Well, one of the things I would like to say is if we go into discussion with this, I'd like to, if we do in the future as a new business item, I'd like to put down that my feeling is if we're going to be funding a visitor center, then we need to have the visitor center report and be under the BID.
Right. I do think that we need to bring this back for a full discussion,
right.
And it's something that we need to have some research into. I would like to see maybe it should be a future agenda item. We'll definitely have it slated to be a future agenda item, but we might want to have a few of us work on some of the questions that we would have as hoteliers that might come forward, and stay in contact with Andrea to receive any information this month in between now and the next meeting, so that we can have a kind of a report from us to bring back to the full board. I would be willing to sit on a subcommittee, because this is an important decision to be made by the hoteliers.
And as well as I.
Okay. So we have three volunteers to form a subcommittee regarding the proposed... What would we call that? Proposed change. Proposed change. Thank you. There you go. Regarding the proposed change. So we are the proposed change subcommittee, and we will Proposed change of use
yeah. of funds.
So we will know who we are when we come back. I'm sure Andrea will condense that. And
Joe, if we wait till next meeting to talk, won't that be a little bit too? I mean, isn't July 1st when the new budget needs to be ratified? Or
no, there's a couple of things that are happening. The next budget hearing is scheduled for June 2nd. That may or may not occur. We're still in contact with City Council. It's scheduled for a second budget hearing. If that doesn't occur, then the next discussion time
wouldn't respect Peter. I just don't want to open up a can of worms down the line with the fact that we're an assessment. You know, we are the hoteliers are the ones that are assessing ourselves, and if we're going to now fund the visitor center, should Peter be sitting on that subcommittee?
It would probably be best to not have Peter on that subcommittee.
Yeah, none taken at all.
I think for as a constituent, I mean, representing our 33, I mean, we're here not just to represent ourselves, but to represent everybody with the hoteliers. So
I think that's a good point, and I'd be more than happy to sit on that board also, that subcommittee also.
I was going to volunteer as well, so there's plenty of us.
I'll defer to John to come in on as a new member on the committee.
There you go. So we're back to we have three, but this time it's Jane Beeman, John Myers, and myself.
That's what I got.
I've got the newbies. I'll get you caught up on all the initials, believe me. Okay. Okay, and we will then communicate via email this week. I'll give you my email address afterwards. You shoot me your email, and we'll get a meeting scheduled. And we'll come back with a report. I'm sorry, anything else, Andrea?
No, thank you.
Okay. And now we move to B, the TJA Advertising Agency report. And for that, John Sorgenfrey.
Thank you. Well, I wanted to start with, and I've got Rick Turton for our new board members. Rick works with me, and Rick is responsible for a lot of our web work, optimization of the site, and then also stat reporting. And we've really tried to get more and more detail as it relates to the website, because really all of our marketing functions really direct people to go to the website to be fulfilled. So we really look at our website and how we're doing on the website as it relates to the success of our marketing. So I'm going to bring Rick up, and he's going to go through the website and some of the stats. And what we do is we email out, and Jane, I'm going to have to get you the information, but we email out a couple of days prior to the meeting all the stats of the website, so you're able to see that. And John, I think I sent you because I had your email. So it's fairly lengthy, and it saves paper, but it also gives you an opportunity to review it. So, Rick, I'm going to bring you up, and I'm just going to steal Rick's thunder a little bit and just speak a couple of highlights in general. We saw a substantial increase in visitors over March to April, and I'm sure you're going to cover that. And then also we saw significance in the LATimes.com, very significant, with a campaign that we're doing online. And also you'll see us referring sites. You'll see where we had the San Jose Mercury News. We just started an online campaign with the Mercury News. So a lot of times when you see paper or newspapers, we're not in any print. We're really online of those newspapers, because that's really where people now are going. They're reading the paper more online than they are actually reading the hard copy, and it's become more affordable and much more trackable. So, Rick, I'll let you go, and then I'll have a few other things to
do. You hit the good high spots there, John. That's pretty good.
Just all the good ones.
Yeah. Good morning, board. Here's an interesting thing. I've got this theory that in our business here in tourism and travel, and especially with the bid, or whether it's the increase, let's just look at February to March. The increase was about 30%, roughly, 28%. You do the math over there, it's about 28 to 30%. That's what my theory is. So always what I say, more traffic driven to the website, however you're doing it, is going to probably be mirrored or reflect TOT. So that's just something I've been working at for years. So you have a question, Joan, or on that part of the statement? That's a
I'm sorry, I do. On Number of days and visits. It says unique visits, new visitors, returning visits, page views.
Yeah.
Page versus visits, bounce rate, average time. Can you add a line there to the report?
Sure.
Can you add
In that
lodging for me?
In that section, lodging,
yeah.
Lodging what? Lodging views?
The lodging. Well, we have the total lodging. We have the lodging page views or whatever on the back, but I'm wondering, out of the new visitors, if you can show us, because I went to the lodging page and I looked at, I think we're doing a great job of driving traffic to our website. I completely concur with you.
Yeah.
Because we look at, we have 81,000 on the second page. We have 81,000 total visits to the homepage for the year. Do you see that number?
Oh, yeah, got it.
And then you go down and you have the lodging page.
Right.
And then you look at the calendar page and the activities page. But if you take the lodging page and you divide it by by the total homepage views,
right,
you get 3%. Actually, you get 2.9%.
It's a different thing. Maybe I need to explain what
Please
exactly
do.
You're looking at. Let's go back to what Joan's referring to on the second page of this, okay? You see where it's the title above, where it says homepage, then lodging page, calendar page, and activities page. You see where it says search results? Okay, this is not the total views of the lodging page. This is the views of the lodging page and the calendar page and the homepage that came in via search. Because as John said, I'm doing search engine optimization, so I'm optimizing the search for the site is one of the things that I do. And so in other words, let's look at it from my point is that 13,000 in April, 13,424 page views were generated through search via 684 keywords. Okay, so then in other words, 534 page views were generated through 26 keywords. That's with people that went out on the side someplace, searched Google, and ended up on your lodging page. They didn't come in through your home page. They just went right from search to lodging, right from search to calendar, right from search to home page. So if that's not clear, Joan, then let me know how I can make it clear, because my job is to make it very clear for you.
Understood. Okay, so now I get that. So then back up here, flip back one
front page.
Flip back to the front page. We have page views broken out.
Yes.
Could we break out the lodging page views?
Yeah. Would you like that?
I would love that.
Perfect. Would you like anything else like calendar page views? And because that's your big traffic, that page back here, your four top pages that are being viewed all the time is home, lodging, calendar, and activities. I can break that out so you see total of that.
It would be great if it were broken out, because that's going to tell me what
– where your visitors are going.
Right. And then now that Jackrabbit is live and I can look at – what we've booked versus what we've bound.
That's, and then you look at how the percentages of sources of traffic have switched. You know, all along it's been 60% for search engines. Now it's down to 52. The reason why is the online advertising is bringing in 33%. So one out of every three visitors is coming via online advertising, which, you know, is driving more people to the website. And then I hope the heck it's more people are making reservations, more TOT for the general fund. And so, you know, and so one of the things we've added, John requested this, and I think this was an excellent idea, even though I misspelled something here, is at the very last on the second page is the newsletter signups. Okay, and now that second line should read newsletter form views, not from views, but notice how the spell check would not catch that, and so I didn't catch it until just now, and I go, oh, no. So what we got is how many people have looked at the form and then how many people have signed up. In my world, anything over 25% is excellent. In fact, you know, to give you guys a little heads up, Pismo Beach is at 25% in their newsletter, and you guys are running over 40. So that's really good. You know, so you got something that somebody wants to sign up for. Give me more of it, which is, you know, in my world, all we're about is three things that I keep repeating. I said this yesterday for John. Sorry, John. Is visibility, reach, and trackability. You know, and now this is something that's trackable. It's giving Morro Bay more visibility out there. And, of course, the reach is expanding, because who knows where these newsletters are going to go to. You know, Michelle gets one and she sends it to Joan, and, you know, it can be viral very easily.
Also, I was going to mention that we're doing really well with newsletter signups. We have almost 9,000 now in our database. And so we're getting a pretty significant, these are people, again, for the benefit of the new board members, we have on our site, if you'd like to get more information about Morro Bay, you could sign up for a free newsletter, online newsletter. And so people can sign up. And they can also opt out if they don't want to get the newsletter, say it's not to their interest. The software automatically admits them when they elect not to be in there. But we have over 9,000 names now. And these are people who are good targets for us because they've said, yes, I love Morro Bay. I want to have continued information. So I think as we look at next year's marketing, you know, we can incorporate that list a lot more. And the packaging would certainly be something, you know, lodging offerings and different types of things. Right now we utilize it a lot for events, letting people know, hey, the Kite Festival's coming up or the car show. But I think what we could do to, and we can talk more about this in detail, but next year maybe incorporating some lodging packages along with those events. Not only mention the events, but putting some offers in there. And so I'm real happy that we've got over 9,000. In fact, that's a couple thousand more than Pismo has. So we have a real interest in what people, well, you want to get those newsletters, and it's very cost effective to send that out.
Can you tell where those 9,000 people are?
I'd have to go back and look at the software. I know that I don't know if we could tell destinations.
I don't know if we could break it down by cities. You could, if you really wanted to get tricky, but it would take you a lot of time. You could do it by, you know, their individual IP address for their computer or where their email's at. But then what if you're on Gmail, you know, and then everything's coming out of the Silicon Valley. One of the things to look at is on the sheet, I always give, you know, we always give you the last 30 days. And that's different from the spreadsheet that's just doing it by calendar months. One of the things you might want to look at is the California cities that are we're speaking.
Really intrigued by that, and so I went on the LA. Best way to find out is just go there and find it. It's really a games page. It's where people can play tic-tac-toe, you know, crossword puzzles, and that's actually it's the nice thing about that. That's value added. We didn't buy that. We got that as a bonus. And when I have to be honest with you, when I first heard that was like we were going to get bonus, I was like, okay, well, it's free. It worked. So a lot of people go to that games page. And we have a banner ad on that page. So we're sponsoring that games page for the LA Times.
You know, I have one more question, too. You know, looking at this map that Rick showed us, the California and where we're getting, you know, I've been here for 25 years in Morro Bay, and we've always heard that, you know, we get people from the valley. We get people from the valley. And have you noticed that's kind of been a misnomer? We just weren't counting the people coming from Northern California and Southern California, or it's starting to change where we're getting more people from Southern California, maybe because we're out on the internet now more. And have you seen?
It's gratifying because that's what we've been trying, you know, to do for the last few years. To be honest with you, with the BID, we had to give up Northern California just when we had the Promotions Committee budget because there just wasn't enough money to spread it between Southern and Northern. And we elected that we thought Southern was more viable. Now with the BID, we're able to do the outreach in San Jose. So, realizing we don't want to certainly give up the Valley people, and I think we still need to tell them that they're welcome here because they are a big audience for us. But we've made a concerted effort to go after that Southern California and Northern California drive market because we feel like if we get somebody from Southern California, they're more than likely going to spend the night too.
Yeah, it's all about that. Remember that visibility and reach, and you can see that the program is reaching out into areas that you – and that's one of the reasons why John's always asked me to include this California cities out there. I mean, you're speaking to 468 cities in California alone, you know, so that's a pretty good indication. Yeah, sure.
I have a question. there are several hoteliers that have reservation systems that don't have jackrabbit capability. And I guess that's something in the future we need to discuss or let them know about how important it is to be able to have a D-Link or something. But one of the things that I would find interesting, if I grab my partner's report here, one of them, is that when we look on the site and see, like in April, on the Morro Bay hotels with the listing page and all these hotels are listed, it shows how many clicks for the hotel. But for me, it would be interesting to see of those clicks, how many of those were converted to reservations.
Jack Rabbit went live yesterday, so we have no
right, but here's the problem. Many of these hotels, or some of them, don't have Jack Rabbit capabilities.
So there's even one of the hotels or two of the hotels that don't have a website.
So, don't you think
are you asking me to address that?
What I'm saying is, so our numbers, when we go into the percentages, won't be reflective of the ones that don't have websites, number one, and number two, that don't have JackRabbit.
Hotelier wanting to have a website, that's about all we can do is to say, you know, list them, which they are listed on the database, but there's no website for them to go to. And really, all of what JackRabbit does is it talks about the reservation, but reservations are still booked with each individual hotel. So the minute you see the availability, you click on that, you go to the hotel to set up the reservation. JackRabbit doesn't set it up. It's not like Expedia. I mean, it's basically just referring them to the property's website.
Yeah. So, for example, I just opened a 12-room hotel, small property, and we looked around for a reservation system. We went with Resovation, which is R-E-Z, Resovation, which is a company out there that does small boutique-type properties, and they have small boutique-type systems. And there's several others that I could, you know, refer anybody to, give them a list. And JackRabbit is able to scrape Resovation.
Right.
So that... You know, we had calls coming in prior to going live with our website, but, you know, as soon as our website went live, and I'm not talking about JackRabbit because that just happened in the last 24 hours, is, you know, it's how much the hotelier wants to drive their own business, too, because we didn't have a reservation system for about two weeks, and as soon as we put a reservation system in and it went live, our reservations tripled.
Well, as I said, the numbers, you know, I'd be interested in, and as I said, nobody contacted us.
I do believe there was a letter that went out to every hotelier from John letting them know that this JackRabbit is going to be going into effect. Click on here to set everything up if you don't have the capability of that. And that was prior to... even it going live, which it just went live 24 hours ago, but there should have been everybody got the letter, to my knowledge. I know all of my hotels got them just into their regular hotel, you know, website or email, and it had just said, you know, check and make sure that you are capable, and if not, contact JackRabbit, you know, and then I believe JackRabbit was supposed to follow up with those, but there was also a letter that should have been sent out to every hotelier prior
to this. And then also working with Joan and Michelle, wanted to make sure we had every hotel included, even irrespective if they didn't have a website. So we gave that, which would have been inclusive of your hotel, gave that to JackRabbit and said, here's the database. And this is on my report. I'll go into it a little bit right now. That JackRabbit's been a challenge to work with. And so, Jane, you're absolutely right in that it would be good for us to do an outreach, let everybody know once again, you know, here's an opportunity, you know, and it obviously it's up to that business model, whatever that person wants to do, it's their choice, but give them some incentive and say, you know, that this is available and, you know, we could certainly help them. I know JackRabbit had talked about, you know, for a small fee, they could set them up with a website. Frankly, I don't know if I want to refer them, you know, I mean, but we could certainly get those people that maybe need a little help getting at least a landing page or something, you know, we could help them along because, I think communicating to let everybody know, because we just did, it just went live 24 hours ago. And it has been a challenge because we've gone around and around about getting the right database. And I won't share all the details, but, you know, one of the things right before we were ready to...
County BID, aren't we a part of the county BID?
No. The county VCB, are you talking about the county visitor and conference center?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are, the city of Morro Bay funded $10,000 to be part of the county effort. And then the BID funded an additional 22 to make sure that our city had full coverage and full accessibility to what the county VCB was going to offer this year.
So does this new JackRabbit program with the hotels that are in it listed on the VC
The VCB website is separate. They do have Jackrabbit on their website.
But the hotels here are not listed on unless they're a separate member of the VCB, right?
Right.
Okay, that's what I wanted.
Let me bring up something here. Now, yeah, Jane was on the listing page views. When somebody hits on a anchor in listing page, they are presented with basically two calls to action, a phone number and clicking onto their website. Now, we talked about clicking onto their website and booking, but from my experience, this could be different in this small group, but my experience overall is that for every $1 you make in an online reservation, your phone call should make you three or four because it has a much higher conversion rate. So this, these, you know, 7,000 listing views presents you with a phone number or the website if you have one. So those are things that we're trying to expose each of the properties listing as many times as possible because we know then that more people will click through or more people will call you and talk to you. Like my wife, she's very typical. She will go on somebody's hotel website, look, do all the research, and then call you up and say, you got AARP, you got AAA, you know, what are their special deals you got? And every hotel I've talked to has a much higher conversion rate via phone call. So that's this whole thing here. Now, we kind of got stretched out here. I got one more thing to talk about is we've had 30 days now with your travel blog. And if we can click on the travel blog, this is when a lot of action has been taking place on this. Now, this is a separate website linked back from morrobay.org to Morro Bay Travelog and back and forth. So that's okay. So, yeah, you can stretch it. But anyway, so what's happened here is that we've spent quite a bit of time on that. I have done three videos that are either embedded or they're both embedded onto the Travelog and on the YouTube Travel Channel. I did the Blessing of the Fleet, the Kite Festival, and the Morro Bay Car Show. Okay, so that there's videos there. If you go down and you can see we didn't have much going on with the parade for the mermaids and pirates, but we did find a video on Flickr that we were able to embed in this post here. So this is just, yeah, it was very cute. And you can see we've got our Twitter and Facebook account over on the left side column. So we're working with the chamber to get all this coordinated and working together. What's really good is because of what the advantage of a travel log postings, it becomes very visible very quickly in Google. If you were to go out and do a Google search right now for Morro Bay Car Show 2010, we would have the third and fourth list is where we're spending some time. And John, if you wanted to talk more about what
I think
doing.
the next phase that we want to work on is Facebook. We want to start implementing that, and we're going to be working with Peter's team. They've got a good base going. I think that with the person that I hired, we can help substantiate that, put some videos on, get some daily postings. One of the things we want to do is those 9,000 people that we have in our database, invite them to join Morro Bay's Facebook. And I think that that's just going to be a whole other separate area where we can encourage people to come. And it's all about the daily postings and letting people know. And you know, I just ask that everybody that knows what's going on in the city, you know, as much as you know, email us and we'll get it on Facebook, too, because that's really the hardest part of the social media is the content and keeping it current. You know, daily postings are really what you want on a Facebook.
So there's our YouTube travel channel. There's the three videos I've done, and the car show's gotten 71 views, and the Kite Festival and the Blessing of the Fleets have got around 40. So it's great. It's more exposure, more visibility for Morro Bay. So if you do a search, you can see the video. Hopefully they say, hey, that look at that car show. That was a great show. Tons of people here. Hope I'm going to come back and reserve my room for next year. So that's it for me.
Okay. I just had a couple more things. One, I just wanted to bring up this real briefly on it was mentioned about Sunset and the Saver. And at a meeting I was at yesterday, I've been was told that there's already $48,000 worth of tickets being sold. That was just like in a couple-day period. One other item that was mentioned that they originally were asking for $150,000 in sponsorships. They now have $400,000. And there are people that big sponsors are already signing up for next year. So I think this is going to be a phenomenal event. And it'll be not only good for our county, but I think it's going to be real good for Morro Bay. And I think we we cut ourselves a pretty good deal in looking at how some of the other people who have contributed and what they got versus what Morro Bay got. So the other thing is that I gave Joan some samples of some guides, and we're going to be talking about some fulfillment later on. Also, Karen was our ambassador to the Rock of Gibraltar. And Billy, do you have those pictures? Again, for our new members, we had this idea come up that we thought from a PR perspective, what a fun thing to do would be to have a sister rock or sister city program with the Rock of Gibraltar. And we started this process by writing a letter to the I first found a travel writer that was wrote about Gibraltar. Then from the travel writer, I was able to get what the equivalent would be to the Visitors Bureau. And then from the Visitors Bureau, I got to the mayor. And we set up a meeting. Karen was going on a cruise, her and Harold, and to the Rock of Gibraltar. So we set up a meeting with the mayor, and they presented the mayor with a packet of information on Morro Bay and requests for what they called twinning, not sistering, but twinning. So we're in the process. And if you could show the other picture. So there's the mayor of Gibraltar. And Karen, I don't know if you want to expound on any of that, but
it was probably 30 to 45 minutes meeting, and the mayor was very gracious. She served tea and biscuits, and we met with the mayor and her personal assistant, who is actually the head of tourism for Gibraltar. She did let us know that the mayor serves as an honorary position appointed by the council, that the council makes all the decisions, and that they do have two other applications before the council right now for 20. But it was very positive. She was very pleasant. Her PA was very excited about Morro Bay and the thought of being able to come over and visit. We did talk about the attributes and why we thought Morro Bay would be a good sister or twin for Gibraltar.
The business is here, and we could then transport gifts and different things that they could sell over there. The key is that they get 8 million visitors a year, so any type of exposure that Morro Bay could have in Gibraltar to the world would be really significant. So it's two things. It's a PR perspective of just that we're trying to do this, and then second of all, it would be really a truly exchange of which is what they're really after, and that's what they want us to prove to them. You know, how's this going to work? I mean, what kind of cultural things can we exchange, economic things that we can do together? So yeah, commerce. So we're kind of working on that second set of it. The only other thing that I had to say was that we're in the process of getting our budget subcommittee together. We'll be meeting on that. We pretty much the city budget is also going to be meeting, so I'm going to meet with both groups, and then, you know, as we've done in the past, try to complement each other's efforts. One thing that Andrew did mention that's probably significant to some extent with the BID is that in addition to the 5%, they're going to cut back on the web funding, so it'll go from 18 to 9. So we'll have to talk about that in the BID about web maintenance and that type of thing too, since we'll have less money from the city's perspective. Good news is we have the site designed, so that was the major things. But I think that in stretching the dollars, because we will have less 1%, we want to probably talk about how much more we can do and emphasizing the website and social media, because those are the things that don't require a great deal of media expenditures but do require some labor time to make those things effective. So we'll be discussing that in the budget meeting. And speaking of the budget, this is a recap of where we are right now. Yeah. And this basically shows you the categories and where we're at. You know, in some categories we're still a little bit under, and some we're over, and that really is the reason behind that is when we set this budget, we don't always know what the rates are going to be for all the publications for the new year. But we're on target. It looks like we have about $66,000 that could be rolled into next year. There still will be some funds coming out to facilitate the website and some of the other things that are going to go through June. but this will be helpful in the sense that this will be some money that will go in to help replace that other 1%. And we purposely did this, just so everyone knows, we had a very large contingency fund because we wanted to make sure we didn't overspend relative to what we were going to collect in TOT or in the assessment. So with that being said, we're on target.
I have a question. Is the income part of it, is that on target as well? I mean,
I think Andrea can address that. I think we're okay. Pretty in pretty good shape. I think we talked about that before.
Let's see. We are looking at your report. To date, we have brought in $326,000 through March. So we've got three more months left, and we've got $479,000. So I think we're doing fairly well. We've got April, May, and June left, which are generally big months, so I think we'll be fine. I think we've been pretty conservative, though, and that's why.
Whole year, is that what you did on fulfillment? Because your fulfillment dropped substantially this month to the visitor center fulfillment is what I'm talking about.
It's been as it occurs, basically.
You've billed as it occurs.
Yeah, it just, I guess when it when we do trade shows and things like that.
I have a question, John. Can we get one of these? I know this has been 2 months in a row now that we've gotten them, which I think is great. Can we kind of get them every month?
Yeah, I'm planning on doing
okay,
that now.
Okay, perfect. So. I know with promotions we kind of did it, and we haven't here, but I know there's been a lot, so I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, no, that'll be part of my report. It'll be the budget update.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Back to you, Peter. So fulfillment for the trade show should come off the trade show line. Is that correct, Andrea? And Peter?
I'm sorry.
Fulfillment. So the question is, the fulfillment, the visitor ad fulfillment, the ad fulfillment for the chamber, it was $20,000 last month, and suddenly we've spent, and now you see on the line, our balance is now $4,737. So my question was, did we get one bill for the whole year? And when we get the bill for our fulfillment, does it, and when we get the bill for the trade shows, do we get those as separate bills so that we can then take trade show fulfillment out of the trade show line? That's my question.
I think it's more of a John question.
Yeah,
Sorry.
Peter submits the expenses for a trade show, and that comes out of the trade show budget. And then the fulfillment comes out. That's basically out of that $20,000. It's a monthly charge that he's been doing.
That's fulfillment, whether it's fulfillment from a trade show or fulfillment from a magazine. It's just fulfillment in general.
It's the work that you're basically paying the visitor center to help fulfill the needs of the BID, and that's coming out of that budget. And then the trade show budget is
just the actual expenses.
Like if he goes to Sunset and the expenses to do that, and also the fee to go to those shows.
So, Joan, it's not separated out, to answer your question.
Okay.
Trade show fulfillment goes into just fulfillment, not to trade show. For fulfillment.
Right. Trade show is basically you attend a show, this that costs this much to go to the show and the expenses.
I have a question. We just approved an expenditure of $2,500. Which line item does that come out of?
That would come out of the contingency fire sale budget. So any item that's not budgeted would come out of that fund, unless otherwise directed.
That? Hold on, I'm trying to over the fire sale contingency.
Right.
So next time we do something like that and approve a budget, can we maybe have this first so we know where we can earmark where the monies are coming out of, or put that in the motion?
Normally we would have. It's just that we moved her up in the.
No, but I mean when we do motions, can't we say it will come out of this category?
Okay. We usually do. We missed it this time, but that's what we usually do.
Okay.
Where are we now? Sorry. Okay, any other questions for John regarding the information you just received? No? And then, John, is there a way to get that actually emailed to us a few days before the way we do for the website stats? Mm-hmm. That way we can have it, take a look at it. Creative subcommittee report, we did not meet. And that also had Mike Casola on it, so that's one we'll need to look for a volunteer on. And then trade show, excuse me, trade show subcommittee, I apologize. We did actually meet, And we had several conversations about trade shows. And so that you know, excuse me, I'm losing it here. I attended the San Diego trade show, tour and travel show, which was a general public trade show as opposed to an industry travel agent or travel and tour trade show. So meaning it's a general public, kind of like if they had it at the San Luis Expo Center and they opened it up and cities from all over the place came, and Nick went down with his wife and said, hey, let's look at going to Osaka, Japan, and Osaka had a booth, as opposed to going to the NTA, which is the National Tour and Travel Show, where there's only tour group leaders and national national tours and national conference leaders at that event. And so one is basically a business clientele, one is a general public clientele. I attended the event with Don Doubledee and had an opportunity to be in the booth for 2 days with Don, who was fabulous. He was wonderful with the public. He super knowledgeable about Morro Bay and was able to do a great job. I felt like if we had that actual event come before us again, that we may not want to participate in it because it was more of a general public show and the traffic was not really high. It was pretty slow. And so I felt that it wasn't really completely worth our money as an overall picture, especially with our BID funds falling to 2% this year, that we might want to look at maybe San Francisco or another major area like San Jose or something like that rather than do a repeat of that. That is my report to the general board on that. Secondly, the when the trade show subcommittee met, we had a discussion about trade shows themselves and the type of money that we spent going to San Diego, and this was just after the car show. And I walked through the car show with my kids and my family, and my husband worked the car show booth, and I was listening to what was going on with the PA system and looking at the crowd, and it was packed. There were all those car show people there. There were people coming to see the cars, the people who owned the cars, people who were like, oh my gosh, I was driving by and saw the car show banner, I pulled off the road. And I was listening to the PA, and the PA was, and the 1967 red Camaro on the corner of blah, 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 just won a two-night stay at a Morro Bay hotel. That was my hotel. And so they were doing a great job with what they had, but it dawned on me that here we are, we have all these people in town, and maybe they've come over from Pismo because they heard about our car show, but they're staying in Pismo. And it dawned on me right there, instead of giving, I think as hoteliers and restaurateurs and just the general, you know, citizen at large, we know when our peak season is. But what we really need to be doing as a group is driving the reservations. And those reservations, as you know, typically happen one day to the peak reservations for an event happen 1 day to 3 months out from that event. And that's where if we had information from this year's car show, we could start marketing to those people who were here, who entered our drawing 3 months out to get the booking. So what we need to be, in my mind, looking at is our booking trend, not our business trend, because we need to drive the booking trend. And one of the ways to do it is to reach out at all of the events that we have, put our trade show booth up, start doing some of our giveaways that we do on the website, our packages, and explaining what we've got out there so that we can drive business back for the following booking trend. And so our next big event in town is the 4th of July, which we sponsored heavily. And so I made a call to the president, who was here earlier, Jeff Eccles, and he said, as a major sponsor of that event, you can have pretty much a very large space to decorate and do what you want with in order to drive whatever kind of traffic you want to promote the Morro Bay hotels. And I think that might be a great place for us to have our first start. We talked about that as a trade show subcommittee, setting up a trade booth there and starting this process of looking at our booking trends rather than at what our business trends are. What do you think as a board?
If I could, I think to me, the car show has always seemed to be kind of disjointed from the rest of the city, and I don't know why. There was, and I'm going to ramble a little bit here, but about 2 weeks ago, there was a surf competition out at the Rock. And I mean, I think I saw a little blurb in the Bay News or someplace that that was going to happen. We went out and watched it for a while. And I mean, I didn't see that tied into the city at all. But there was age groups from 8 to 18 years old, boys and girls. It was a, you know, talking about a family event, was all family event. There was hundreds of kids surfing. Went on for 2 days, and it seemed like there was an opportunity that, that came and went right under our nose, and we took no advantage of it. Another one that comes to mind is the wrestling tournament at the high school. I walk my dog down the Embarcadero twice a day, and when that tournament's going on, there are guys walking down the street from all over the state of California with their families. And it seemed to me like, boy, this is low-hanging fruit. And what shouldn't we have been a banner welcoming the competitors to the contest, something like that? And the third one is Dana McLeish is a neighbor, and 2 years ago he was commandant at the yacht club. And he just happened to mention one time the Big Rock Regatta. And so we were at church. We left, came out of church. We thought we'd go over to Dockside 2 and watch this thing, but we couldn't get in because there were so many people there. So we got a table at the galley. And there was probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 kids in small boats, sailboats. Parents brought the kids. You know, these are all 12, 14-year-old kids. So there was probably some really very good target, again, low-hanging fruit, just walking in our door, kind of being ignored and leaving. So, I mean, your comments on the car show, if we're going to go out and sell ourselves in Main Street here right away first.
First of all, thank you for what you said, John. I totally agree with, first of all, I'd like to address what you said. Yes, we need to work on bookings. I think Morro Bay is a great effort, and just we need to have more people know about us and what we can offer. Number two is an issue that I've always had, and that is we do not have one community calendar. We have different entities working with that know about different things, and nobody calls up for one calendar. There was a dog show also nobody knew about. So the point is that I think if we can start establishing one community calendar rather than having a calendar for the Chamber of Commerce stuff, a calendar for the Park and Rec stuff, somebody needs to know something, and maybe that's something we can address in the future. But to answer your question, we need to work on bookings. So I really like that idea.
So do you like the trade booth idea?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, your concept was to work on something that will bring future bookings.
And right.
Therefore, that is your idea. I agree.
I also like the idea. Presence at large events like that is missed opportunities, and I think we should certainly attend as many as we can. And then address John what you said. I agree with what you have said already. One of the things that we've reached out for is another one besides the wrestling, and I have gone to the school, and we wanted to be part of it and try to get bookings for it, and we've done all those things, but you know, there's. We have to really stay on top of that because they don't really correspond easily to us. So not that they don't want to. I think it's more of they just don't have somebody to do that. And so it's more on our shoulders to kind of drag it out, which is not a problem at all because I want to make sure we're part of it. It's huge. But the other thing is the softball tournaments. You know, there's another thing that we just missed. But we didn't really miss it because we did collectively put packages together for that, and we've done this as the second year in a row. And this year, I'm hoping that has more fruit on the tree than it did before. But so those things have been addressed, and we always could do better. And I'm certainly would love to be part of a group or a committee or something to just go out and reach it. And I love the community idea because there's so many little things that go on You know, like this dog show, my wife was, can't tell you how upset she was. She thought our dog was going to win that, and she didn't even know about it. So, you know, that's going to be on a calendar, I'm sure.
Well, if I could just add, I think that this is the kind of information that if we're going to do more of the social media, which is what I'm recommending, this is what we need to have. And I know this has been something that we've struggled with, not only just this year but years in past, is that we hear about these events after the fact. And I wish I had a solution, and I don't have the exact solution for it, but if there's a way, for, you know, as one of the goals and objectives that we have for next year is to figure out a system to types of family events, and being able to show those on YouTube and putting them on our website will further that branding. So, you know, whatever we can do to try to get harness more of these events and know about them in the future before they happen, to film them, especially for the video portion of it. And, you know, we're all up for that. I mean, I think that's it is a missed opportunity, and I think we should try to figure out a way to better handle that.
With that being said, then, we do have space available to us at the 4th of July, which is in about 40 days. I would be willing to help work the booth that day because, you know, that event, as Jeff Eccles explained, is basically a 12 to 9 p.m. type event. Do we need to be in the booth the whole time? No. Could we rotate people in and out of it? Absolutely. And I would be willing to contact all of you via email with some kind of schedule that you could maybe get in on if you wanted to work the booth, so that it would keep our fulfillment costs down, meaning having to hire an outside source to man that booth all day, recognizing that that's one of our busiest weekends of the year for all of us. Any time you could give would be wonderful. Also recognizing that that's one of our biggest opportunities of the year to create a database.
I agree with you, Joan. I would also, and again, I'm new, I apologize, but I would like to see more hoteliers be part of this group, even though they may not serve on this board, but they could volunteer on something like this. And I think an incentive for them to have their hotel brochures there. I think putting a letter out, or as I said, I would like a list of all the hotels that are under 22. That could be my responsibility. And I could contact them and say, hey, this is what we're doing. You know, would you like to have your brochure there? Oh, well, then you have to work, da-da-da. And I think we need to get the community hoteliers involved.
If we put a trade booth up as the BID, we either have to represent everyone in a lodging guide. Everyone has to be represented equally. So if we have one hotel brochure there, whether they work it or not, every hotel brochure
Well, we
has to
have
be there.
A lodging guide with everybody listed.
That's correct.
And if they want to have their own brochures there, can't they do that too?
They can, but if we have one person's, we have to have everyone's. That's what I'm saying. It has to be an equal, because we're an equal partnership here. We're working together, trying to get it done. So you're right. That's a great idea, is to have all the individual brochures there so that the people can decide.
But still, if you're one-on-one with somebody and you're wearing your hotel T-shirt or some emblem of what you have, you know, I think that would also help promote just your individual hotel while you're representing the BID.
I guess you could do that. You can't really do that. For example, when I went to the trade show, they had asked me, when you go to the trade show, would you be, Peter had said, you know, can you give hotels to hotel rooms, two hotel rooms that we can use as the giveaway for the two-night stay? And I said,
have this booth set up, or
do,
can we just do
it?
Be nice.
I do believe, thank you, that I need a motion to, and I'm not sure how much money it would cost us for fulfillment yet, because I'm not sure how many volunteers we're going to get to man the booth. We're not traveling anywhere, so I would say up to about $1,000. I don't think we're going to spend that. As a matter of fact, we'll hold that cost down, but including the fulfillment, I'm talking about paper fulfillment, up to $1,000. So I'd look for a motion for up to $1,000 in spending on the 4th of July trade show event.
Can I ask one question first? And maybe John or Peter, the hotel owners, are going to know a whole lot better than me, but is the 4th of July the right audience? From the people I see that are there, they're residents of Morro Bay and they're residents of Los Osos and some people come down from San Luis. Do we fill the hotel rooms on the 4th of July?
Absolutely.
We do. Okay.
I think what I know sitting on the subcommittee and haven't spoken, I think what the board needs to consider, and I know the way I feel about it, is we should have a presence at every event, whether it's a local event or it's an out-of-towner event, because we represent all of the hotels, and yes, we want overnight stays and we want to really have a presence to the out-of-towners, but we need to do a little PR campaign as well, and we need to let the locals know what we do here and how we help the locals, because me, and you know, I don't particularly live in Morro Bay, I reside in Los Osos, but I care about Morro Bay just as much. I mean, this is like my home, and I think that there's a little misperception out in the community sometimes. There's this, you know, tourist versus localism, and that really saddens me, being a local who's lived here my entire life and also working in the tourism business. They're a good blend, and there's a good way to blend them. And I think that we need to also help the local events and be a big part of the local events, because we all live here and breathe here and have children here and raise them here. And it's just at our heart, our jobs as it is our home. And to me, it's all intermixed. So I understand what your point is about, oh, this is a local event, but it is also an outsider event. And this is a great start because it's kind of blending both local and
one of the things is, I mean, it can be simple. The giveaway can be outside of the San Luis County zip code. I mean, there's ways to control that for our information vetting process. So, we can have a smaller giveaway, you know, locals giveaway and an outside the county zip code giveaway or something like that. So, you know, the locals giveaway, even from Paso, can be maybe the restaurants will give dinner for two or something. So we'll, you know.
Well, and I mean, me living in Los Osos, I still come and stay here in Morro Bay to get away from, to get out for a night or to go to dinner with, you know.
You have three hotels here. You're staying in another one?
Well, I didn't say which one I was staying in, but you know what I mean? Like, the girl, we come to Morro Bay to get out. So you're going to have people that don't have a hotel. They're going to want a place to stay overnight, maybe, possibly.
I'd look for a motion at this point.
I will make a motion that we allocate $1,000 out of our trade show budget, line item budget, for the 4th of July event.
Is there a second?
I second.
Can we have I look at a friendly amendment that says up to $1,000 on that. Thank you. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
So from 5 to 6, and the City Council then meets from 6 to 11 on Monday nights. That might be a choice. We were hoping to have not only the T-bid, but also the community promotions. We didn't put this on their agenda for today, but we will next month. So perhaps we can look at a joint meeting after budget adoption sometime in July and talk a little bit about what you want to do. I'm open to that.
Could we convene that the promotions committee meets prior to us on this particular day at this particular facility? Could we do a joint meeting where we do an hour earlier and they do an hour later, or is that something
they're
that
looking
can be done?
To do it with council as well? So it'll be an evening meeting.
I didn't hear about council. Okay.
Yeah. The idea some time ago, and we never made it there. We were going to do a joint meeting before we had the website up and running, but that just didn't occur. And I think that's not a huge problem. But we have talked about a joint meeting with all three groups. You could certainly have a joint meeting with community promotions and talk a little bit about how they're changing their bylaws. They're probably going to be adopting some new bylaws with a slightly different flavor at their next meeting. So you've got some options there. But we probably, the best bet is to try to get something down, because we've been talking about this for quite some time and not made any progress.
We have a regularly scheduled T-bid meeting in July. Our meeting would be on the 22nd. That's the third Thursday, and so council would meet. They meet on the first they meet on the first Monday and the third Monday. Is that correct?
The second and fourth.
Well, there you go.
Except for the except for the months of July and December, and they cancel their second meeting. So that second meeting in July has been canceled.
So they would meet the 12th.
If that's the second Monday, you're correct.
They would meet the 12th in July, and then If we go to August, our meeting is the 19th, and they would meet on the 9th or the 23rd. So would we want to say give both boards a couple of options? Would we be interested in entertaining, since they don't meet the second Monday in July? We could say the first Monday of either July or August. That gives us two dates and allows them to look at two dates as well. Is that good with everyone?
I had one suggestion. You might want to have a meeting with the promotions committee first.
Right.
So you have a joint meeting with the promotions committee, and then, you know, kind of each report to each other. I can help facilitate that, working with both groups, and then really at that meeting talk about what you want to present to the council.
Okay, well, our June meeting is scheduled back to June then. Yeah, our June meeting would be the 17th. So do we want to have a secondary joint meeting, or do we want to look at the 17th? The promotions committee starts at 8, and they're usually over about 9:30. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we could just meet here at 9 and do a 9 to 10 with them, and then that means our meeting starts at 10 o'clock and would be out. Is that how you do it, some kind of overlap like
we
that
could.
So they get their private stuff done, then we do a group thing, and then we get our private stuff done?
And I'm thinking about the June meeting.
That's private.
We have a lot on the agenda, so that might work.
Actually, from my perspective, just in trying to put the budgets together, it would really be a good time to have that, because basically by then the budget subcommittees of both groups would have met, and we could talk about how the budgets are going to work together. The promotions committee, you know, I'm sure some of you have heard, you know, is going to do some things a little differently. Like, they're going to
just come a little early. And so I would then, okay, here we go. I would look for a motion to schedule it for the 17th with the promotions committee, time to be determined, and Andrea Luker will contact us via email. And we will not respond to each other on that. We will only respond to Andrea in interest of the Brown Act. That's the motion, if somebody wants to make it.
I'll make my first motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor of the 17th?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Great. Looks like it's the 17th. Andrea, let us know what time. Thank you. Okay, that's B. C is a review of an inventory list for the giveaways.
I don't have that.
Okay.
It said for a future meeting, and I do not have it for this meeting, but I was trying to work through looking at what we're doing with the photo contest and then also the ultimate giveaway, and then also what I was kind of waiting to do too is to see what we're going to be doing with the LA Times and people like that, because I have some there's some interest from the LA Times. Maybe join us for a contest. Mm-hmm. To have a contest that would be like an LA Times Morro Bay getaway contest.
Mm-hmm.
So I will have that list for you for the next meeting.
And I think this would be a great one for actually the promotions committee to see, because maybe they could rally some restaurants to do giveaways, or maybe some vacation rentals, since vacation rentals fall under their purview. So maybe they could rally, you know, a couple nights at a vacation rental or something like that from some of the owners, instead of it just being the hoteliers all the time. Mm-hmm. That might be a thought. And then discussion of the subcommittee representations. Are we prepared for that? Is everyone? So we have several subcommittees in this board, and that's because we're trying to bring ourselves up as quickly as we can to speed, and we tried to get rolling as quickly as we can, and we're coming up here on, you know, almost a year. And we had two members move on, Mike Casola and Val Seymour. And so we have openings on several of our subcommittees. And I'm not sure if our new members just want to stand in where Val and Mike were, or if anybody else has interest on any of those subcommittees. So I'll tell you that on our website, I can tell you, I know who sits with me on which, so I can go through those. On the website subcommittee, it's myself and Michelle and Peter, and we sit with members off of the Community Promotions Board, Ed Kravitz and Bill Stafford. Thank you, couldn't get that out. And Bill Stafford. So that's who's on the website subcommittee. On the hotel packaging subcommittee, Mike Casola sat on that with, can somebody help me? Who sits on hotels? With Peter and who was your third member? Okay, so we need two members for the hotel packaging subcommittee.
That's what they do.
So I can give you an overview of the hotel subcommittee, or I can have Peter do it, whoever sits on it, because I don't want to step on what you've already done. But what they're trying to do is if you go into morrobay.org and you look on our, activities, plan a trip, dining, chamber. If you scroll down a little bit, I believe it's on the under lodging for the go to the lodging bar there. Yeah, right over there. I can't read that from here. Can you read that to me? I'm looking for where it says packages. Let's see. Is it down below lodging on the left-hand side? Go down a little bit further on the left. You'll see the bars under the Morro Bay logo there. Specials and deals. So under specials and deals, when you click on that, the lodging website subcommittee was going to do a reach out to the hotels in order to establish special packages and deals that we're going to be put onto this page here. So, for example, if Best Western El Rancho out on Main Street decided that they were going to do a fishing package with Verge's Landing that had breakfast the next day on the Chablis, they would be able to take their package and bring their package forward and put their package here on specials and deals. And so what we're looking for is the establishment of who has packages, what they are, and doing outreach to the hotels to get those packages driven forward to our website. Is that correct? Does that pretty much cover it?
I think that's certainly one part of it. I think what I was hoping for, too, is something that would be collectively from all the hotels where we would come up with some offerings. Like in the off-season, maybe we do something like, you know, stay Friday, Saturday, and get Sunday half price. I mean, I'm not saying that'd be just as an example. I don't know if that's the discount. But something that where we could put a package that, and then you could then click on that and go to all the hotels that are participating in that one package. So in other words, pick some specific packages that the majority of the hoteliers would want to be willing to participate in, and then you'd click on that and you'd go to the list of all the hotels that are offering that package. That was kind of what part of it was, because we actually have on the website packages for the, and if you go into the lodging database, you know, most of the hotels have their packages already listed. I think the idea was to have packages that the majority of the hoteliers would agree upon, say, yeah, that sounds good. If I could get a Sunday night and get, you know, 70% of my rate, I'd go for that if it was off the rack, you know, rack rate for Friday and Saturday. It's putting those packages together so we have something to offer people when they come.
So basically, the hotel packaging subcommittee comes up with the package plans, outreaches to all the hotels. Would you be, you know, this is what we're doing. Would you be willing to do this? And what happens if everybody says yes except five hotels?
Then they're not listed on that list.
Okay, so we list all of them.
Right. If everybody says yes except for five hotels, it's the people who are basically willing to jump onto the bandwagon, and it's another way for them to just go around, and we'll just move on. So you're interested in that. Okay, we have Jane who's volunteered for
so
that.
That's
Is there anyone
it.
Else?
That's excellent.
I'm on two committees.
How about that?
But Jane, you act just, it's real important because you actually have it right on, is that you'd want to plan some of these out, you know, almost by the quarter. So like if we had a fall when we
I know,
already
I already
know
do that now.
Okay.
Also, part of that is, and I was talking to John about this and reaching out to all of the hoteliers, as far as all of our events as well, there's participation, not so much packages, to vendors that are part of the event that need rooms, and, you know, not giving up half their rooms, but, you know, maybe participating in one or two of the rooms and offering a discount to them. For, you know, attending that, and that's what we were talking about last time, and
Typically, vendors are in the day before the crowd, and they leave the day after the crowd. So what we're talking about is an extension package. That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we were talking about the last time we met with the packaging.
Okay. So that's two. We've got Peter and Jane, and Mike Casola was on that. So who do we have? Who's interested? Let me get a taker. Come on.
I'll jump in. I was just waiting to hear what the other committees were to see where I would best fit.
The other committees.
And the creative subcommittee, I'm not sure what that is.
Working on the creative, working on the logos, working on the ad campaigns, working on the different ads that are being placed.
It's active.
There was a lot at the beginning.
That's right. It was active at the beginning, and it'll be active again at the beginning of next year for the new ad campaigns.
I'll volunteer for packaging.
For packaging?
Yeah.
Okay. Packaging. John on packaging with Jane. And so Peter will be emailing you to establish a time and place for you to meet so that he can get you up to speed on what they've done in the past and some things. Okay? Awesome. And so then Mike Casola was on the creative with myself, Peter Candela, and John Sorgenfrey. Is there anybody who'd look at creative? Any artsy?
I'll go on to creative.
Karen will go on to creative. Okay. And trade show subcommittee, that's the two of us. And Peter, right. And public relations, we had somebody's missing off of public relations. Who was on?
Val and Mike were both on that, and I would love to be on that one. That was the one that Val fought me for, and then she resigned. So I would love to be on the PR subcommittee since I sat on promotions committee prior, and so I would like to.
Who are your other two on that? On PR?
PR was Val and Mike, and so we need.
I'm the third.
And Karen.
So they're looking for two more.
I'm the third.
So we need, and so there's two technically. So myself, and then if one other person.
I'm sorry, who was on it in the beginning? Val, Mike, and Karen.
Karen.
Okay, and now we've got Karen. Oh,
yeah. Karen and Michelle.
And Michelle, and we need a
one
third.
More.
I'll take that one too if you want.
You'll take PR. Gotcha. Okay, and John.
And could you review your view who was on trade show?
John M. Trade show is myself and Michelle.
And Peter.
Peter. And we consult with John.
Except the subcommittees is set up at this point.
Okay. Is there a second? Second.
Second
it loud.
Second.
There we go. All right. So all any discussion on that?
One, wasn't there one committee about the well, there's that one, the budget one, and then there was one that you and I were trying to get.
It was the request for funds. Request for funds form, and Karen is on that with us, and due to her schedule last month and my schedule last month, we did not meet.
Okay, so
we had scheduling conflicts.
All right.
So we'll come back with that meeting. Okay. Prior to leaving, we'll set up a time.
All right.
How's that sound?
Okay. Well, I'll email you.
Because
once this is over.
Okay. All right. So there you go. We have all those subcommittee reports done. Oh, we have a motion on the table. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Sorry, Andrea.
Perfect.
Okay. And consideration of funding for Dahlia Days. As you recall, board members, and just to bring the new board members up to speed, Dahlia Days had come forward to us and said that they were holding an event. The event used to be a draw that would draw about 50,000 people. They're going... The Morro Bay Garden Club is looking to establish the Dahlia Days again as an event. I'm sorry, that's a tongue twister for me. And they were looking for $353 in order to use some money for promotion of the Dahlia Days event, which they believe will bring in people to stay in Morro Bay. So for their event, they are looking for $353, and I'm going to open that up for discussion right now.
Have they asked the promotions committee about this?
They, I believe, made a presentation. I believe, don't hold me to the fire on that, but I believe that, well, Peter, you've been at promotions. Tell me, did they show up at promotions?
I believe they did.
Okay.
But I don't know if there was much of a response there.
Right. And they went to City Council, and I believe that they did not get a response, a huge response from City Council.
Wasn't it a permit?
Can you tell me? It's for their permit fees.
Yeah. I think they are on the list of the events that are sponsored by Fundraiser Follies. So I think they got their permit fees paid.
Right.
I don't recall what that was, probably $100 or so. And the Community Promotions Committee did not agendize for funding. They really don't have an option.
Part of the strategy for the Promotions Committee was to kind of front load their budget till the BID got going, because they really had their budget approved prior. So they're pretty much out of funds, because they did a lot of the advertising up front till the BID got going. So they really didn't have, even though it's only $400, I mean, they're pretty much out of money now at this point.
And then I'm looking back in our minutes from last month when Marilyn Glessman made the presentation to us, and it just says that she came forward as a member of the Garden Club requesting funding for Dahlia Day's event in the amount. And I believe that we may have had some questions for her at that time, but I...
Get people in. I would suggest that we get involved as the hotel packaging subcommittee and maybe theme the weekend of Dahlia Days and take it on or something, because otherwise every group, we're going to have a fund, which brings up something I'm going to ask you about in another declaration of future agenda. We're going to have an item just for, as you say, your miscellaneous funding for local events.
We're working on that. We have forms that actually we're working on as a subcommittee, and myself, Karen, and Nick, that's what we're talking about, meeting and getting that form back to the board for next month, so that we have basically something that says, do you meet these requirements before we'll consider giving you funding.
I would like to have the Dahlia Days people come back here and give us their plan on how they're going to promote this to bring tourists here.
And I have to be honest, she did go at length into that, but I don't have all the information. I don't have the total recollection of what I need to have to be able to answer any of your questions. So since we have new board members, we could ask them to come back. I'm not sure when they need the funding by. It is not a... it's not an event that's taking place next week or anything. So
I would suggest if the committee that's putting together the information for the request for funding is... If they think they can get some sort of draft by June, that you bring a draft forward to your June meeting, you approve it at your June meeting with maybe some changes, and then allow Dahlia Days to apply through that manner. It seems like you've discussed that. It makes a lot of sense, and I think it gets you out of kind of a scary precedent of people coming and just asking. You did that with 4th of July, which is a good move, and the timing didn't permit us to do this other option, but I think that makes sense, and I think you'll have enough time.
Yeah, I think they have time. It's not something where, in the interest of time, we need to make a decision today. So I do think that if we brought the form back, it would be something. Let us just continue this. Is anybody objecting to continuing the Dahlia Days discussion for the next board meeting?
Well, I would like to continue it with purpose. I'd like to have somebody contact them directly and have them prepare something that we can look at. So it's concrete. This is where we're going. This is what the meeting is for, whatever it's for. But this is how we are going to promote it, so that we know what's going on. And maybe they can even meet with the hotel packaging subcommittee.
Well, what?
Or PR.
I think once that form is put together that we're bringing back to the board in June, they will be able to take that forward. We will be able to submit that back to Dahlia Days for them to make a presentation to us in July using that format. And if they don't meet the criteria on that format, then they're not going to come back to us. That's what it comes down to.
Okay, I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is we have subcommittees, and maybe one of the subcommittees would become the purview for these other organizations to come to first to sit down and say this is what it is, and so that it becomes a subcommittee report.
I think you kind of sent
the subcommittee gives them the form, and then under a subcommittee report, the subcommittee says this is what Dahlia Days is going to do, and this is how much money they want, and these are the forms, and we agree with this because of blah blah blah.
Excuse me, that's part of what the form is. It gives a time frame for when you submit for a request. For example, you would submit a quarter out or whatever time frame that the subcommittee who's working on that will come up with. So we'll have more information for you as it comes forward, definitely.
I make a motion then that we move the Dahlia Days to next month's meeting or unfinished business. Do we have to make a motion for that?
Can we move it to July's meeting? If we move it to next month's meeting, they won't have time to fill out the format.
July.
So we should move it to July's
meeting. You don't need a motion. We can just continue that item until July.
Okay, perfect.
If you move it to July, is that going to make it too late for an August event?
Not necessarily. If they found the funding, or if one of them have put that funding in for promotion. A lot of times in events, I mean, that's a question we could reach out to them and ask them.
I mean, I'm just thinking that $350 isn't a whole lot of money. Why don't we ask? And I recognize what Andrea said. I mean, we get ourselves on a slippery slope here, so we have to be careful. But why don't we ask them to come back in the June meeting? We'll approve the form in the June meeting, but make one exception that Dahlia Days complete their case in June, and we'll make a decision on them alone in June, which gives them the time. That's only $350. It's not. I don't know who's on the garden committee. I hope it might be some influential people in the community, and I'd rather not upset them.
I agree. I do see your point. I think that you know, it is not in the scope of our budget. It's not a giant amount of money. We've definitely given more to other groups before. We just don't know what the format is for what they're going to fulfill. We could bring it back to the June meeting and give them a waiver on the format. It's up to you guys. I mean, I'm good either way. I'm going to be truthful.
I would. It's $350. It's Dahlia Days. They're trying to bring it back. I'm personally, I'm all for funding it to them.
I agree with Peter.
And then, you know, because we created levels, if I remember right, you know, it's going to be 500, up to 500 and over 500. And, you know, it just, to go through this for $350,
I'll make a motion that we fund the Dahlia Days request for $302 or what, or
$352.
And just this,
it's
one
$353,
exception.
I'm sorry.
All right. And then from here on in, when we get that document finalized for requests, we'll go with that from now on.
Is there a second to Mr. Mendoza?
I'll second that.
All in favor? Aye. I'm sorry, go back. Is there any discussion on that?
Well, I have one thing of discussion, and again, I'm very much in favor of doing this, but I would like them to tell me what their promotional plan is to bring people in.
I know that
I'd like that to be added.
I know that we're helping them as a chamber. We're going to help them with their promotions as well, because they don't have much of a budget, and so we're going to jump in and help.
Okay.
Chamber, and I think there's a few tweaks that need to be done. So I don't know if the board would like trade show subcommittee to do it, or
since we're fulfilling to the trade shows.
Since we're fulfilling to the trade shows, or just kind of how the board would like to handle that. But I would like to.
It has to come back to you for approval, since we're changing it anyhow, so we could work on it as a trade show subcommittee.
And then bring it back to the board.
Is the board good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that. The next month, we'll come back with a report on fulfillment. No. Any other future agenda items?
I would just suggest one is that we'll probably by next meeting, because the budget subcommittee would have met, you probably need to approve a budget by next meeting, because we're already looking at September insertions. So I think that the budget subcommittee, we talked about meeting, you know, the next week or two, and then I would try to prepare a budget that the board could look at and hopefully approve, so we could get moving on the advertising.
Okay. The budget. Any other items, if you come up with them and they were not brought up at this meeting, you may contact Andrea and myself directly, and we can look at the schedule to get them on the future agenda. Okay? With that, we would move to adjourn. Is everyone good with that? We are adjourned.